Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversations are pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Did you bring your thinking caps? Because it's time to put them on. Because the conversation starts now. Card brains, y'all know I'll be done found it here in a minute, because I don't want you to be lost. I want you to know exactly where you are on the edge with me and Tammy.
Yeah,
north. Now where are you at? You're not in Oregon, you're not that far, you're in Washington, right?
Yes,
Washington. Yeah. And I'm in the next state down. I'm in California. What's the weather like there in Washington?
Cold. It's about 50 something today, I think.
50 something. Is it raining?
No, it's actually beautiful outside.
Well, that's wonderful. It's beautiful because we have gotten the rainstorms from heck. It has been really, really bad. But brains, you know, Tammy is, she's unique. Okay. She is unique because she's a sister in the metaphysical world. Yeah. And I'm just saying culturally, on the norm, Black folks ain't metaphysical. We Christian, we Protestant, we Baptist, we
Jehovah Witness.
We Jehovah Witness.
Even Mormon Catholics, now.
Even Mormon.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got that lucky.
Yeah, me either.
You know, but as far as metaphysical and talking about the spiritual realm and the woo-woo, you know, it's really different. And people don't understand the parallel. I tell them all the time that there's a difference between religion and spirituality.
Yes.
And I'm trying to connect to the spiritual realm as well, because my creator is a spirit.
Yes.
They are not a physical matter. But how to tap into that, how to be guided through that, and not be tricked up. Because somebody will put the old Spengali on you, the old abracadabra, and have you thinking something that it's not. You're also a podcaster.
Yes.
And you're a retired military veteran. So I thank you for your service. Yes, I know. You said what? I told her that. Yeah.
Actually, my husband.
Is your husband a retired veteran?
Yeah.
No, you're the retired veteran, honey, because you're the wife. I know. My husband's retired Navy, and I am the veteran wife. Okay. <Yeah. laughs> Did you move a lot, around a lot?
Not a lot. Just a little bit.
Yeah, we moved just a little bit too, but we moved to some great places.
Yeah.
Did your husband do 20 years?
He did.
What branch?
Navy, did a little bit over. He started in the Army.
Okay.
Started over to the Navy.
Okay, yeah, my husband's in the Navy, and now he works for law enforcement, and he's about to retire from his second career, girl, and I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to keep him busy.
I know what you're saying.
He said, I'm not going to do nothing. He said, I'm just going to lay up here like lunch meat. I'm not doing
too, because I say, let's do a food truck or something. You retire, get ready to retire, because he's the chef as well. Mm. And I say, let's do a food truck. And he's like, no. See, no. He's like, that's work. I don't want to do work. I'm good.
They want my husband to stay on. They've offered him a great bonus because he's a team builder.
Yeah.
He knows how to recognize and reward and promote, but also discipline with a gentle hand, make it a teachable moment. All of that. He said, they can't pay me enough. He said, no, all I want to do is clean the house and cook for you. I was like, baby, if I had known that, you could have retired 6 years ago.
That's right.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit about your podcast. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. And what is your guess? What is your niche? What are you talking about?
So Straight Out of Savannah is my podcast. And I got that name because I am straight out of Savannah. That is where I'm originally from. And so I started it. Honestly, Spirit told me to start it. Spirit said, I need you to start this show. And I interview people that are changing the planet. So I interview all kinds of people. I have interviewed people that I interviewed a braider. I interviewed people that had created seasonings. I mean, so I've talked to a lot of interesting people, and I kind of like it like that. Some part of the interview usually focuses around intuition, because that's my jam. And so I usually talk to people and I get it out of them a lot of times, you know, how they trusted their intuition in their business and, you know, all this kind of things and what part that intuition played, you know, and how they connect to their higher self or to God, source, universe, whatever we're going to call him, her, or them. And so I do that.
Oh, no. Do I have to do a pronoun with God too, girl?
Well,
do I have to be politically correct with God?
Well, here's the thing. I always tell people it's the God of your own understanding.
That's right.
Because I'm not going to get into it about, you know, what you feel about this God, this religious thing and all that. I don't get into all of that because that ain't even my concern. And to be honest, I had an experience with my grandmother where she was speaking to somebody that was Jehovah's Witness and they said, oh, you know, people don't even know God's name. You know, it's Jehovah, this, that, and the third. So my grandmother said, okay, so your name is Robert, right? And he said, yeah. She said, if I call you Robert, you'll answer. And then she went through it with his middle name and with his last name and all of the things. He said, yes, he would answer, or Mr. whatever his last name is, you know? And so then she said, that's how God is. If you call him, he will answer. Doesn't matter, you know, what you decide to call him. And I say him, her, or them, because I believe that God is a collective.
Right.
You know, and so that's why I said, that's why I put it like that. And I often want to, because like I said, I don't want to trample on anybody's beliefs and I'm not going to fight you for your limiting beliefs. You can keep them if that's what you desire to do.
Exactly.
But
so
when
it
I
seems
put it
your
out
husband
there,
is on the podcast with you. Now, how did you get him? Because this girl, Mr. Magnificent said, no, I will bring you some water, coffee, I'll fix the lights, all that. He said, I don't need to be on camera. How did you get your husband to get engaged with you?
You know, what was so wild about it is I started talking about it, kind of saying, okay, this is an idea I got, you know, Sunday service with the Morrisons, because we both are on this plane where, you know, we are not doing religion, but we love God. You know, and so what I started doing was I started comparing some of the different texts and some of the different religious things, like, you know, the Bible and the Quran, the Torah. And many times, a lot of those texts say the same thing. A lot of them say them. Sometimes they say them verbatim in the same words.
Right.
And so I started doing research on that and just comparing. And then, you know, and I told him my idea. I said, I want to just share stuff, you know, and just talk, you know, and just, you know, let people know that they don't have to be stuck here, you know, and there's so many different things that we can do. So we kind of just started doing the show and I started it. And then one day I got him to come on because he was the same way. He was like, oh, I'm good. I don't have to come on, you know. And I said, honey, I said, let's do this. And so one day we started doing it and girl, it's almost like now he's like, every time he's like, oh, write this down. We could talk about this, you know?
Right. They get
so
involved.
Now he's like, he's into it. So it was like so cool, you know, but yeah, it was just an idea that came through me because I felt like a lot of people need to see, you know, couples.
Right.
They need to see healthy couples and they need to see couples talking about all of this stuff too.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah. So
you
that's
have
how we
children?
Got going. I do. They're all grown. Youngest ones are 31 and then the oldest is 33. I have two that I birthed and one I raised. And they're amazing. I have one grandson that's 12. So now,
what does the next generation feel about you in the energy space?
Oh, the youngsters?
Yeah.
My children are all woo. Actually, my son buys me all kinds of woo stuff. Like I got the Tree of Life on a necklace that he bought me and, you know, different little things. I'm trying to think. Hold on, let me show you this other thing. So cute. So he bought me this. I don't know if can you see it.
Oh, that is nice.
Isn't that nice?
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little thing that this a little thing that when I plug it up, it turns and spins or does something, but it's really pretty. And I was like, it's kind of interesting.
Psychedelic, kind of
yeah.
Takes you on a trip.
Yeah, and that's
I'm going to tell you, what I have noticed and I have observed is that this younger generation has no or little respect for spirit, God, religion, and discipline.
Right.
This is not something that is indoctrinated with them. I don't know if it's been a breakdown between my mother's generation, me, and my child. My daughter knows or has chosen a belief to follow Jesus Christ as well as I have. But sometimes I see her waver. Sometimes I see her, you know, we pray over our food, girl. I'm praying for the sacrifice. I'm praying for the cook. I'm praying for the produce driver that's drove it here. All of that. But she'll do it. But then sometimes she'll with her friends and she'll shy away. And I told her, you know what? Whatever your belief is, you need to stay consistent with that.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not going to do it, you can't dibble and dabble. Soon as something happens, oh Lord, oh pray for me, this, that, and the other. You know, when the adversary shows up. Along those same lines, if you are not disciplined in your religion, then you're disingenuous. What's your thoughts?
I agree with that. I completely agree. I actually said that to my children the same type of way. I said, you know, you got to decide what you're going to do. I said, because here's the thing. I said, now, you know, I raised them in the church. I did. I was raised in the church. I raised them in the church. They started growing up and seeing a lot of the hypocrisy and stuff that was going on within the religion, all that stuff, because they were like in the youth group and, you know, they saw some of the youth that, you know, they were telling them not to have sex, but of course they were, you know,
right, these kind of things.
And so they started saying, I don't know about this, but they, you know, they kept going because I had them involved as well. You know, they all did like youth ministry. My daughter did, what do you call that thing? Outreach.
Mm-hmm.
She did like missions trips and things like that. You know,
let me tell you the story that happened with my daughter, and I never made her go back. We were at church and we were all dressed up, and the pastor was on one that day. Baby, he ripped through the homosexual community as if they were Satan incarnated. And my daughter was about 10 or 11 years old, and she tapped me on the leg, and I leaned down and she says, Mommy, I'm ready to go. And I said, you ready to go? She says, he's so disrespectful. And I said, he is. She said, yeah. I said, who? She said, the pastor. She said, now you don't think that the choir director is gay? Okay. You don't think that there's somebody that walked in here, Mommy, that wanted to be delivered and saved? And now he just has them going straight to hell. And the only way they can get to heaven is through him. She says, I don't want to come back here anymore.
Mm.
She got that revelation and that download at about 11 years old.
Mm.
I told her, I said, what I'd like for you to do is to learn to agree and disagree. I'm going to set you up a meeting to have a conversation with the pastor. Pastor talked to her as if she was insubordinate. As if, you know, who do you think that you are? You ain't grown. You ain't lived this life. And, you know, and then at the end asked her, does she have homosexual tendencies?
Oh, my. At 10 years old?
At about 11 years old. Well, you know, people discover when they discover. She
says, I mean, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying.
And she just honestly told him, she says, no, she says, but I don't want you to be my teacher.
Wow.
I was done. I didn't go back either. Because you didn't allow her to form her own opinion.
Right.
You want to control her.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times people think that, you know, well, religion is a form of mind control.
What you're trying to say is manipulation.
You know? Yeah. But woo is too.
Woo yeah, it can is be. Too.
Because yeah. You are looking for a channeler. You're looking for a seer. You're looking for a seeker to help you get to this point. People don't realize
that it's internal.
Right.
Yeah. It
still comes from source. Now, right. That's not to say that it can't be sharpened. It can't be, you know, interpreted. All of that is important as well.
Yeah.
But you still have to have a one-on-one connection with source where you get your own downloads. You get your own set of instructions, your own information.
Agreed.
So now when you work with people, you know, how do you help them discover where they are? What are two or three things, you know, that you talk to them about? Where are they in this process?
Typically, and this is something that's kind of new for me. So I've been working with a lot of people that are coming from religious trauma. You know, they're coming from, you know, church hurt and, you know, all of this stuff, and where they started realizing and opening and started their having their spiritual awakening. And so typically I like to start, like I have one young lady, we started with acknowledging that she had gifts and actually looking to see what gifts she had. So that was one of the things, because she started having experiences you know, she started seeing things and hearing things and all this stuff. And so she thought at first that she was, you know, losing her mind. And so when we got into it, because I just started, you know, asking her questions about what was she going through and what was she seeing and, you know, what was the, you know, and all that stuff. And so as we did that, she began to understand that, you know, she was energy as everything else is. God is always good and not manipulative. You know, and she started diving into that stuff and diving into herself and who she actually was, you know, because the thing is a lot of times the churches sometimes will leave you feeling like, you know, you can't get your own guidance. Like, right. God
well, or the thing of it is that it's about interpretation.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because you will have the same King James Version, and you go to three or four different churches, and the story is completely changed to fit that person's belief. That's why I say you got to have that one-on-one connection.
Now, well, think about it. Now, the Bible was translated like 65 times.
Right.
65 times. Now,
nine books.
I was going to say, and you can't do that game. You know, that game where you know, you say the thing and then you tell somebody else and then somebody else tells them the same thing. And
oh,
you
yeah.
Go around the circle. And by the time it gets back to you as something totally different.
Only something totally different.
And that's exactly, to me, that's exactly the same thing that happened with the Bible. You know, he wrote it so many times, and King James was such a fool. I mean, excuse my language, but he was an idiot. And so we're looking at this thing that this idiot translated. You know, they put their own spins on it.
Of course.
Just like everybody else, you know? And so you have to think about that and actually understand that you can get the guidance from inside of you, that God lives in us.
Right.
And you know, it's not, he's not out there in the space.
Right.
You know, he lives in us.
But check this out. Let's talk to the atheists. Let's give them their due.
Yeah.
Because I can see, I'm not going to mention their name, very, very famous person. I had a lunch with them not too long ago. And they ripped the Bible in half and said they're not going for it.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going for it. They're not going for the woo. They're not going for the Allah.
They're not going for nothing.
They're not going for none of that. You know, and I
but
said,
they don't believe in nothing?
Themselves. And I said, but you take in the air, but you don't see it. You work on the internet, but you don't see it.
Right.
You turn on the electricity, but you don't see it.
Right.
I said, but you can't work by, I said, you can't walk by faith, you know, because you don't see it. You don't trust in it. You don't believe in it. What do we say to those people? I say, allow them their space. Allow them their journey.
Yeah.
They've had whatever experience or lack thereof.
Yes.
Or they've had trauma.
Right.
Because I know that there has been some religions that, you know, is cold-blooded, you know,
yes.
And will shun you and make you feel bad. And, you know, like
yes.
There's some religions that, you know, you have to sacrifice and that you're not worthy of this. And you're not supposed to have riches and you're not supposed to wear makeup and you're not all these rules.
Yeah.
You know,
I call it dogma.
Mm.
Because it doesn't mean anything.
Again, we were talking to the atheist, the person that does not believe. Where did you find your spiritual awakening? Now, you were brought up in the church.
Yes.
But to make a bona fide transition, not to say that I'm under a religious doctrine, but I'm more under a metaphysical practice. When did you make that transition?
About 20, I would say 2012, right at the time when I moved across the country. It was
What's
like,
started?
It was a God. God spoke to me 3 o'clock in the morning. I was at work and God said, it's time for you to leave this place.
Mm.
And at the time, I didn't really know what it meant at the time. I was like, I don't know what that means, but you know, I asked and I was like, okay, what am I supposed to do? And it was like, okay. And now I realize it was not only that physical place, but it was that emotional place, that mental place, and that spiritual place that it was time for me to leave. Because I left South Carolina and went clear across the country to Arizona. And I did it on faith because I didn't have no money. I tell people, I said I had an astronomical car note. And I just, it was time for me to go. So I left. I think I had $500 when I drove across the country.
And what benefit and what joy and what have you found being in this space?
Oh my God. I found me. You know, I found peace and I found so much more love to me because I went through some stuff at the end of my, I say my church career, but I mean, here's the thing. I still will go to church. You know, I don't go regular and I'm not every Sunday person and I don't have a church that I go to where I live at. But, you know, if somebody invites me, many times we'll go. But I just truly believe that God is so much bigger than religion. It's like to me, and every time you go to church, they say stuff like this, don't put God in a box, right? But they put God in a box. So it's like,
No, they put God back in the coffin, okay? They really do. Because for some strange reason, people take on the illusion as if they are God or they're God. Entertainment industry. I ain't gonna go into that, girl.
No.
They doing some wicked stuff. They
They
doing
doing stuff.
some wicked stuff. And they are attaching to the minds of these younger people that think that this is sexy. I just did yesterday, day before you, an interview. I'm gonna send you the link with a woman that is her stepfather is still putting a spell on her,
Oh, wow.
dealing with voodoo. Okay, girl, when you hear the story, it's gonna make
Oh,
your ass go
my.
curl. Oh, yes. And then I have a friend of mine that's just been released from a guru. 30 years he's had her under mind control, where she would have to sit, pray, chant, meditate for 4 hours straight. No food, no water, just
Wait, did you say 30 years?
30 years. She just got
Wow.
released from this spell, and she has to drive past that house where he's still there with a house full of people that he still has under his spell. She's got to drive past that house every day to go to work.
Jesus.
And when she says his name, her body flinches and jumps up and down and twitches. And
Oh, wow.
it's a cold piece. So with that said, I can see why an atheist is like, forget that noise. I'm just gonna go on and do what
Like,
I gotta
nah,
do.
not for
But
me.
you hear them say, oh God, pray for me, or this, that, and the other. So it's so disingenuous. It's a lot of back and forth, but you can't be back and forth with the divine.
Well,
You
it's like the
don't.
foxhole, you know? Nobody's an atheist in the foxhole, right?
Right.
They're in the middle of war. They calling for God,
Right.
Jesus, whoever,
Right.
and
Right.
anybody they even don't even know but might have heard of. So,
And
you know,
exactly.
that's like a real thing. It's like, okay, yeah, you can say that over there. But when you get in a crisis and you get in this space, you know, you're going to call for somebody.
Right. And when you transition. When you transition, I know that this is not the end. That's my personal belief. Okay. This is just a chapter, and we go into the next chapter. What did we learn? How did we perform? Who did we help? What do we need to learn?
What don't we want to do again?
Exactly. What is our next assignment? All of those things. Do you believe in reincarnation?
I do.
I do too.
I do. I truly do. And I believe also because I really feel like my grandfather chose my husband from the grave. It was just the most amazing thing because they have the same names.
Wow.
And they, so many things, it's just uncanny. Like my grandfather loved duct tape And anybody that you talk to about my grandmother, they'll talk about him and that duct tape. My husband loves duct tape, you know, and it was just so many different things. And, you know, and I just really felt that. I was like, I felt like my grandfather chose him and put his stamp of approval on him and said, I need you to be with my granddaughter.
Right.
You know,
well, I felt my religious awakening. Well, it was the first time that I had got the Holy Ghost. I had knew it, but this was the first time for me, girl. And I felt like somebody opened my head. Fire went through my entire body, but I wasn't burned. I just passed cold out. Next time I got the gift of speaking in tongues.
Yeah.
And my tongue was out of control and I couldn't understand the love language that I was speaking.
And you know, they call that light language in the spiritual community.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
And so as I settled into it and looked at myself in the mirror, I found a certain peace.
Yeah.
I found an outlet.
Yeah.
It's like my bobblehead doll here. It's my alter ego. It's a place where I can offset things that are troubling me, worrying me. I have a quandary, but also a place of joy when I'm happy. You know, I praise through my circumstance. If there's something that adversarial that pops up, I know that there's a place that I can go and there will be solace there. There will be a conversation. Yeah. It may be my words, but the energy and how you feel and how you're relaxed, but also a place of hope and possibility. And also blessings. You know, people was trying to get that new car. They trying to get that husband. They trying to get that new job. But what you need to do is get clarity about who you are. Because maybe you're not supposed to have that.
You going to make me get up and shout.
What? Ain't no
that right there. Okay. That was a whole last word.
Shoot. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, that was the space to me for the spiritual awakening, because that was where I was. I had been divorced. You know, my kids were all grown and I was like, okay, what is next for me? You know, my career, I don't know if I shared, but I had been burned out for years and I didn't even realize at the time that I was so burnt, you know, and that was the place. It was like, okay, who am I? You know, and that was the thing. And that was, I think, the journey that started me on that path. It's like, who am I and what is it that I'm called to do on this planet? What is the impact that I was here to create?
Right, right,
you know?
Right.
So that was the thing. It was like, I know that there's something that I was called to do. I knew
I'm
that
not supposed
from
to
a child.
Like lunch meat.
No. I've been a healer since I was a child. I've been laying hands on people since I was 3 years old. So I knew that that was something that I was called to do. Now, did I want to do it? No, I fought that thing for decades.
Right.
You know,
because
I was like,
it's a lot. You're taking on a lot. You're taking on responsibility. You're taking on hurt, shame, pain. And then too, does the other person feed into this and do they want to continuously do the work?
Right. So, that's the thing.
If you're not hungry, you won't eat.
That's the thing when you work with people, because you want the best for them. Because for me, I love to see my clients at their best. You know what I mean? Like I envision them at the best version of themselves. But sometimes people don't want to do the work to get there, because they think that be witch is real and you could just twinkle your nose and get there.
Well, you got the woo, girl. You got, and with the woo, you got the pixie dust.
Oh, you know,
you got the magic wand. You got all access. You got access VIP pass.
I can just throw a crystal on them.
What?
You know, and boom, it's done. You know what I mean? And it's not like that. You know,
Let's talk about that a little bit, because again, I have crystals. Different types of communication crystals, healing crystal stones.
Love them.
Use them for energy. I love them too. But I don't put 100% faith in the stone, but then I have to think about it. That stone has been compressed in the earth for millions
of years. Who knows how long? Right.
Right. And here I am. I have access to it. And I use it as I don't know. I don't know what I use it for. I'll be real honest with you. I don't
use them
know.
as tools.
I use them as tools.
Because that's what they are.
Okay, explain the use of crystals to my brains.
So you use them as tools. And I mean, for me, I'm super intuitive. So I intuit almost everything. And I didn't realize that about myself until, I don't know, here lately, like in the last maybe a couple of years. But I intuit. So like I use crystals in different ways. You know, sometimes I use them in my sessions. A lot of times I do a process called DNA activation, and I use the crystals in that as far as intuiting what crystal the person needs to have. I also like I have some crystals that I sleep with. Like I've been sleeping with a selenite wand, because I do feel like it amplifies your dreams. So there are different things that you can do with crystals. Like I have a, like sometimes when I work with people virtually, I use the crystals for their chakras, you know, because I do like crystal chakra alignment and stuff like that. And so sometimes, you know, you use it like that. But I believe you can use it in whatever way calls to you, you know,
well,
whatever
I
way
use them
works
usually,
for you.
Like I use mine for healing and for communication. You know, if I'm getting a massage, you know, I always magnify the energy there, or to clear my space. I do, you know, so I have.
No, I'm not. I'm laughing because I went to get on the plane, and I had my crystals in my pocket. I forgot to take them out when I was going through
Safety.
TSA.
Safety, safety,
do
and
you
protection.
Know that they.
And I'm gonna tell you something, Brave. If you don't believe it, okay, but try it. Try and see what happens.
Exactly. Just try it.
I had a situation where, this real quick story, I had a situation where I was going to a revival, a church revival, girl, and it was on fire. It was so good. But before that, I was having great difficulty with someone, a big blowout, big fight. In my dream, I was told three times to wear black onyx. Black Onyx, Black Onyx. I get to this revival, and you're giving your testimony. I give my testimony, and I say about this Black Onyx. Somebody in the audience as a part of the revival comes to me the next day and tells me to get rid of that because that's demonic. The devil is going to show up and this, that, and the other and all that. And I'm saying to myself, now you don't know me from nobody else. When God talks to me, there is no misunderstanding. I know whose voice that is. Well, I was hotter than fish grease because I did not go there for you to determine or to discern what I'm saying.
Exactly.
I did that. So I went and I got the onyx. I was wearing it. When this person told me this, the next day they saw me and I had the necklace on anyway. Well, I went and I went to the Bible. In Genesis, what does it say? Gold and black onyx. Oh, yes. It confirmed what I needed to know.
Yes.
So I politely went back to this individual and I said, you know what? You want to be careful with your discernment. Don't interject. Be invited in.
Yes.
You don't know what this person has done. And that's what I try to do. People talk about their religious things. A lot of times I just sit back and listen.
Yeah.
If they are in alignment and agreement with my thoughts and my beliefs, a polite nod of the head. I still don't want to have any conversation with you too much because then it's a battery back and forth. Who knows the most? Well, do you know this and want to challenge you on that? I'm not trying to do that. I can only go by a God of my understanding.
Yes, absolutely. I feel all of that because people love to come and, you know, try to debate and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then
and
I used to get stuff. Oh my God, on my YouTube channel, I would get people popping in, you know, saying you need Jesus and stupid stuff. Like I said, listen, 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 you don't know me.
Right.
And apparently you don't know Jesus either.
Because
if you
judgmental.
Need Jesus, then you know that he's right here with me. Jesus is my dude, always has been. I was like, you know, I said, you want to talk about the Bible? Let's talk about that. I said, because I have read that book many times. They spoon fed us that book. My grandmother was a pastor. I was like,
exactly.
You know, so we know that book. And plus, even later on, I did the thing in the church where you read the book Bible for a year. You remember those things?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You read the Bible for a year. You know, you get out. Yeah. So I did all that. I was like, I earned in ministry school and everything. So I can tell you about that.
Right. About that doctrine. But you know? It is a personal relationship because I know people
yes.
that are saved, that are illiterate and can't read.
Yes.
So what you're trying to say, because you can't read the Bible, you can't be saved.
Right.
No. So this has just been, you know, riveting, especially off of the interview that I just came off of, because she said at a very early age that all she had was God.
Yeah.
And she wasn't afraid and no harm ever came to her. But honey, some of the things that she went through, and the adversary doesn't have to be with horns and red eyes.
Most of the time is, well, they tell you in the Bible.
It's all right. Liar.
That's right, because we're going to
get liar and a thief. Absolutely. Well, I am so glad to have had this opportunity to talk to you and to look at it from a different perspective. Brains, we're not trying to convert you. If you like it, we love it.
Yep.
Okay? Because I'm going up yonder. I don't know where y'all going, what you doing. I try to give you alternative points of view. I try to give you information. So if you are seeking, these are opportunities to get to know people, to have conversations with them, to follow them, but also do your own research.
Yes.
Find the God of your understanding where you feel comfortable, where you feel vulnerable, where you feel praised, where you feel worthy. And you can share that.
Yeah.
That's what's important. Not necessarily what I'm going through or what Tammy's going through.
No.
But what is it that you're going through? And you got to find a place that you're not alone.
Yes.
It's 8 billion people on the planet.
That's true.
Okay.
That's so right. And but there's so many, so much of that, you know? So much.
So, Tammy, please tell my brains how to get in contact with you, to work with you, to follow you, to tap into your podcast, all that good stuff.
So the best place is probably always Facebook. Messenger is always good. And I am Tammy Morrison across all platforms. You can Google me. I'm across all platforms. You can also send me an email. You're going to put that in the show notes, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So that'll be in the show notes. You can send me an email, tammy.unleashingyourtrueself@outlook.com. That's always a good way to reach out. Like I said, I have a YouTube channel, so you can go there and you can comment on those videos. I'm also on TikTok, Tammy Morrison. I'm also on Instagram a little bit, but more so Facebook more than Instagram probably. But you can also find me there. Instagram, I am really Tammy Y. Morrison because my page got stolen. They wouldn't give me back my name. So I had to,
They done stripped you of your name, but that's all right. They haven't stripped you of your character and your content. And I thank you so much for being here on The Edge Brains. You know where the spot is, the place right here where the conversation is pointed in your face. Okay, the guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Reach out. Try to find yourself. Okay? Because a lot of us are lost. But that's okay. That's all right. We love you.
Thank you so much. We love you.
Bye, Brains.
Bye now.